This is HPR episode 2297 entitled, More Magnatune Favorites. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 69 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, Andrew and Dave offer you some more tracks from Magnatune.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio listeners. This is Andrew here, McNallu, as I'm also called. And we are going to be talking about Magnatune today. And I'm in my home, and I'm delighted to be joined by Dave Morris.
Hello, Hi. Dave.
And how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks for the invitation to your nice house.
Yes, it's a bit warm at the moment because I'm trying to cure a water leak problem. So if you hear us panting for breath, that's why.
Yes.
So yes, we're going to talk about Magnatune and listen to some tunes. Magnatune, it went a bit quiescent until recently, and it's sort of woken up again, hasn't it?
Yeah. I think they've done really well over the years. They've been around for a long time now. I don't know, remember exactly how long, but they seem to have sort of hit a quieter patch recently. They changed the way that they sell their music. So you now have to be a member. You can't buy anything individually. There's only one membership now, isn't there?
That's right.
It used to be different sorts of membership. So that showed that, you know, the original model needed some tweaking. And then they, as you say, they went really quiet. I was worried. Are they just about to vanish, you know? But they didn't.
No. I've got a feeling it's been around since 2003, so it's quite a while, actually. I think I must have encountered it a good 4 or 5 years after that. Maybe before. I can't quite remember.
Yes. I think I did look this up last time we did a show about it, and I don't remember anything about what it was now. But it's been around a goodly long time because they were pushing themselves quite hard at one point. I think if you wrote to them, you got a great big stack of business cards type thing, because they wanted you to go and spread them around wherever you were and your friends and that sort of stuff. And it worked, I think, because they seemed to get quite a number of people interested in the business and everything at that time. So. But now I think it's not their primary business, is it? It's they've got other strings to their bow now. So they've sort of cut back somewhat, I think, in terms of who runs the show and the sort of facilities they offer. But they've still got a pretty solid core of it.
Yes, and when we say they, it's primarily the brainchild of John Buckman. Mm-hmm. And another nice thing is if you email him, he'll email you back, which is quite nice.
You can actually have little chats with him.
and it is unlike a lot of startups, especially going to a startup going back that far, is that it'll be a blaze of publicity at the beginning, and it'll be the next most exciting thing since sliced bread and all the rest of it. And I suppose maybe it went through that, but I wasn't aware of it at the time. But what's nice about this is it's found a niche. It seems to have probably too small for the business model that maybe he originally hoped for, but quite a loyal band of followers, and I'm surprised that when I met you first through Identic or Hacker Public Radio, and then only laterally did we discover that we had Magnatune in common.
Yes.
And that's happened a few times. So it's a niche, but there's quite a few of us about.
Yes.
You know, if you ask,
yes.
I mean, you go in the high street, you won't find many Magnatune devotees. But
it's nice
it's kept going, and he's found a way to keep it going, even though it's not a mega bucks venture like Spotify.
It's wonderful to see, really. In these days where, you know, it's sort of so many businesses thrive for a little while and then vanish totally. And it's lovely that this one has stayed alive and has sort of settled down to a steady pace almost, you know. It's It's good.
Yeah,
and from a hiatus, because the way I was measuring their sort of state of well-being was that they produced a list of new acquisitions, new albums and so forth, there's an email list you could join as a member, and that was every couple of weeks, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah, I think regularly, yes.
Yeah, and then that stopped for a while, seemed a little bit worrying, and now it's gone back to every couple of weeks again, so that's absolutely great, and there seems to be some pretty good stuff coming along as well, and they seem to have some artists who have stuck with them all the way through, which is also great.
Yes, it is good. I mean, I should also say part of the idea of Magnatune was to try and give the artists a bit of a better deal than they would get through Spotify. I guess going back to those days, what was it called? Last FM? Before Spotify, that was like the MySpace to Facebook thing, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. The Last FM to Spotify. But yeah, generally it gives, I think it's a better deal for the artists, as far as I understand it.
Yeah.
And it's good. Yeah, and the emails are good because every couple of weeks, it's a welcome site in my inbox. I mean, I think of how many emails are unwelcome in my inbox, virtually all of the rest. It's nice when I see John Buckman has sent through his email, and he's got about 4 or 5 new albums, and they might not be new. They might have been on for a while, but he's added them to his list as a reminder, I think. But they're new to me at any rate, usually.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I don't mind either way. If it's things, because he puts an a player into the HTML message. Normally I don't read HTML, but this one I've made an exception. So you can play a bit of it from straight out of the email, and I quite like that. And I just go and buy them pretty much straight away as a consequence.
Well, you say buy them, you just download them. I do the same. I mean, out of every 4, usually there's one that I really like, and then there's a couple which are okay, and then there's one which I really don't like. But there's a real range. I think we're in common that we probably both lean towards the ambient and electronica. Because of the kind of thing Magnatune is, I can see why it's attracted that. There's quite a lot of classical stuff.
There's a lot of classical stuff. I do collect all the classical stuff, actually. I don't listen to it as a sort of background as much as I do the electronica and ambient stuff, because I quite like to have a bit of music on when I'm coding or doing something like that.
Yeah, me too.
So the classical stuff is sometimes a little bit more challenging, and you want to actually listen to it. I still quite like to have it, you know, for those times when you're out for a walk or something and you've got the headphones on, if you want to do that sort of thing, or in the car or something like that. So it's quite nice to do, I think. So, yeah, there's a good range.
And also the classical stuff seems to contain quite a lot of quite old, like early classical music and maybe even medieval music, which I tend to prefer. Well, that's not completely true, but I guess again with the way Magnatune is, that it's it would be quite an undertaking to get a whole orchestra set up. That's quite an expensive thing to do. Whereas medieval and older music, you know, you can get away with a quartet or even a solo.
That's true.
So is that implication?
They have had some orchestral stuff, I think. In some cases, people have used Magnatune as a springboard onto other things, and then they disappeared, which is sad. For example, there was a group, I guess they were an orchestra, who did a series of three CDs worth of stuff, which was a Handel opera called Atalanta, which I had never heard of before. I saw it on Magnatune, grabbed it. It's absolutely wonderful, actually, I love it. But it's not there anymore.
Yeah,
sadly gone.
Yeah, I understand that could happen. I've never actually happened with an album I happen to have liked. But then if I really like an album, I will have downloaded it. And since there's no DRM or anything like that, that's you get to keep it. So presumably you've still got this.
I have.
So I mean, that's another nice thing. But Magnatune is the artist has control over what's there, but has no control over something that you've then downloaded, which seems to be appropriate in both sides.
It's the way it should be, by my reckoning. I think it's great. I guess because there's a license that allows us to do what we're doing here and play it on a podcast, a non-commercial podcast, is what
it's CC by NC.
Yes,
that's the one.
Yes, yeah. We did check that out last time. But so we can do that. If an artist leaves, I guess that the I'm not quite sure what consideration regards the licensing then. Don't know.
Why would it change?
I've never looked into that one.
But no, it's an interesting question. But luckily, this has.
We're not doing it.
Yeah, we're actually we are going to listen to the music live in between our recordings. Although you'll edit the tracks in, actually.
Yes. But,
yeah, I shouldn't spoil.
behind the scenes.
Oh, sorry about that. But it does mean that when we listen to it, I will be streaming it live from iTunes, and that guarantees it's still there.
Yes.
So on that note, shall we listen to the first?
Yes,
track?
Let's do that.
Okay, so we've chosen three tracks each. The first one I picked is called Rodrigo from the album Helium by Pretty Howtung. Here it is. Thank you. Yeah, so that was Rodrigo from the album Helium by Pretty Howltown. Now, Pretty Howltown is all spelled lowercase, all run together, no camel caps or anything like that, camel case rather. But it's actually just one guy, John Noble, and he builds his own synthesizers. It's all analog, it's all old school, and I think he said he records it all live as well. And I think that's what I like about it. I mean, it's quite electronic, but there's something quite human about it as well. It's not being quantized by a digital sequencer or anything like that. And although that's called Rodrigo, Rodrigo, of course, is a Spanish guitarist.
Yes.
And a favourite of my mum and dad. So that's my dad just died recently, so I'm going through all their correspondence. And they used to write to each other about Rodrigo and Segoviev. And, Rodrigo was the composer, sorry.
Rodrigo was the composer.
Yeah, sorry, Rodrigo wasn't the guitarist. Segovia was the guitarist that they went to see playing Rodrigo. And although that's about, as a musical instrument goes, about as far away from an acoustic classical guitar as you could get, there is something a little bit about it, which I can see why he called it Rodrigo.
You can almost imagine somebody playing that sort of thing with a guitar, couldn't you? Somewhere in there.
It sounds plucky.
I actually saw Segovia. I'm pretty certain Segovia died in the 70s, 80s sort of thing, I think.
Yes, I think
he was performing. He performed in Manchester when I was a student there, and I went to see him.
Yeah, well, my dad took me to see him when I was a tiny boy. I must have been 4 or 5, and I didn't last past the interval. It was in the Kelvin Hall in Glasgow. Mm. I think the plan was that he was going to go with my mum, but my mum was ill, or my little sister was a baby or something, you know, and mum had to stay home. So my dad took me. I don't remember anything about it at all, other than being in the hall and all the people.
Yeah, and quite exciting for a week.
Yes, until the interval, at which point I said to my dad, I want to go home because I'm sleepy and this is boring. And my dad was not happy.
No.
It's a bit repetitive, that track. But I do recommend those albums if you like old-fashioned analog music. I do recommend those albums. Helium, Hydrogen Alpha and Hydrogen Beta, which also appeals to the astronomer physicist in me, naming albums after atomic lines.
It's also one I like, but I've listened to all of those albums and they're really good. So shall we move on to my choice then? So I am choosing an artist whose name is Skin Mechanics, and the album is called Secret Life of Angels, and the track is called Ultra Vista.
Thank you.
So that was Skin Mechanics, Secret Life of Angels with Ultra Vista. And this, I like this personally because it reminds me of Tangerine Dream. I'm giving away my age enormously because that was very, very cool stuff when I was a youngster. And so I still enjoy that sort of thing. So yeah, I just really enjoy that type of music. So this one was a definite hit with me when I came across it. It's not new though. I think according to the blurb, it's dated around 2002, September 2002. It said the album made its debut at Jodrell Bank Planetarium that month, and the audience reaction was very positive and enthusiastic. Well, I would think so. Imagine being in a planetarium listening to that sort of music. That would be very, very cool, I think.
It would. Well, actually, I can say that with some conviction because 2 weeks ago, I went to the Glasgow Planetarium. It's quite a big one, a few hundred seater, I forget, maybe 150 people. It's a fairly sizable thing. And they had a old computer image, generated image or video, projected up into the whole dome to accompany Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd.
Oh, very good.
And I'm not actually that hugely into Pink Floyd. I like it, but it's not my first choice of music. But I did like it. But it really suited this. And because it's hard to describe unless you see it, but it really, the visuals really were disorientating, mm-hmm. give you a feeling of movement because they were like surrounding you.
Yes, yes.
Especially some of the 3D tricks they played on you. It went really well with the music. So I can really vouch that a planetarium is a great place to listen to music.
Yeah, I'd love to see that sort of thing. Yeah.
Even if you just look at the stars, to be honest.
Yeah.
I actually really like that track as well. And I've got it downloaded on my laptop. I haven't listened to it for some time because I think I got it mixed up with another band I got off Magnitude that I didn't like so much. But now I know I actually do like it. It's got a kind of groove to it, which is quite unusual in electronic music.
Yes,
it's got a rhythm. Well, not a rhythm, but you know, groove is the right thing. It just sort of, it sort of marches along. It pulls you along.
I guess it might be a slightly dated form, but I don't really know. I don't know enough about the comparison between the different types of this kind of music. But the fact that it sounded like Tangerine Dream, first of all, dates it, but secondly, means it's something I want to listen to over and over again.
Yeah. It made me think a little bit of Jean-Michel Jarre, early 80s.
Yeah.
I was thinking of BBC Micro, Model Bs, which to our non-UK friends, I guess that's the cousin of the Commodore 64, VIC 20.
Yeah.
6502 processor. 6502
processors, yeah. Although the B was had quite a lot more extras than those guys did, I think. Did it?
That was certainly more expensive.
It was
£400.
It was an expensive box.
When it came out, yeah. But it reminds me of that era of music as well in my head when I was about 10, I think, 10, 12, when it, like 8-bit micros were in their heyday.
Good stuff.
Okay, so the next track that I've picked is called Think Tank from the album Sleep Mode by Mike McGill. We'll be right back. So that was Think Tank from the album Sleep Mode by Mike McGill. I'm pretty sure it's McGill. It's spelled M-C-G-U-I-L-L. And I had this conversation with Kevy on Tux Jam, our podcast where we look at music. So I played, I don't think it was this track, although I don't recall. I'd have to go and check. But anyway, Mike McGill got in touch with us afterwards, and I don't remember him telling us off for mentioning his name or pronouncing his name incorrectly. But then I'm not sure how I pronounced it that time. So, but anyway, I like that music. It's just a somewhat down tempo, quite gentle, a very good music to have on while I'm working as well.
He's definitely in my playlist. I haven't particularly chosen a track. I would be hard pressed to choose a particular track, but it's. Mind you, the choosing of tracks to do this sort of thing with this is always a difficulty, I find, because, you know, it varies from day to day and mood and that type of thing. But he's definitely somebody I would like to hear more from, and he's done stuff recently, I think you said.
Yes, well, this album dates back to 20th of April 2016, so it's just a little over a year ago. So that shows, and it was from one of John Buckman's Magnitude emails that I found him. So it shows that the emails were still coming out fairly regularly a year ago, so the hiatus must have been in the last 6 to 9 months,
yeah,
I guess.
Last quarter of 2016, maybe, that sort of time.
Yeah, so that would make sense. The album is very good. We were just listening to it there, my phone hooked up to my hi-fi, and I pressed a button and I got We Wish You a Merry Christmas came on, an instrumental version, because Mike seems to have done a Christmas album as well. but it's electronic, so it's so if you're feeling Christmassy later in the year and you can't tear yourself away from electronica, well, Mike's your man, it would seem.
That's the thing to do. Yeah, that's good to know. Good to know. Okay, so do we move on to the next one? Then my next choice is an artist called General Fuzz, which appeals to me, I don't know why really, and his album is called General Fuzz, and the track that I've chosen is called Ray Squared. Thank you. So that was General Fuzz. His, like I said, his name I quite enjoy, because I don't know, it just seems a bit silly. That was a recording from 2010. I understand. I'm sitting here looking at my phone with the Magnitune blurb on it. I like this one. I play my music using Clementine mostly on my desktop machine. I live on my desktop machine. I'm not a great laptop user most of the time. And it shows the album covers. And the album cover for this one I really like. Just shows my childish nature because it's a really nice sort of knitted, crocheted... What I'm not quite sure what animal it is, but it's a stuffed animal anyway.
Yeah, it looks a bit like some kind of Muppet. a bit like Beaker, perhaps. Yeah. It's a blue version of Beaker.
It just appeals to me. And I love that sort of music too. It's the sort of thing that you would... with a son who was into music, he's not quite so keen on it now, having got his degree. I mean, he enjoys music, but he's...
Will kill off interest.
Yeah, he doesn't see himself as the musician he originally thought he might. He was heavily into synthesizers and all of that sort of stuff. So it was Fruity Loops, a Korg synthesizer, etc., etc. So there's a fair amount of that type of thing going around the house various times. I've exposed some of his music to the HPR community in the past. I don't know how well it's seen, but anyway. So this one appeals to me because it's the sort of sound I like, and I could quite see him writing stuff like this. In fact, he should and make lots of money.
Yeah,
Magnitude, but he probably won't.
Yeah, I liked it. I like the name General Fuzz as well. It reminds me of was it Professor Elemental? That was sort of, that kind of name. You know, you give yourself an honorific title, but in an inappropriate context. But yeah, General Fuzz. In fact, he must like it too, because he called the album General Fuzz.
Yes,
so it's General Fuzz by General Fuzz. It's just sad that you didn't have a track called General Fuzz.
I played it for certain, yes.
No, I like that as well.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a bit different, slightly. It's something a bit playful and cheeky about the music as well.
Yeah. I don't know quite under what circumstances you'd play it, but... quite nice background music for a kids' party or something.
Yes. You mentioned that you play yours in Clementine. Worth saying that I work on my laptop, but my laptop is more or less a desktop now. It rarely leaves my desk, so it is a desk, literally a desktop. And on it I use CMUS, which is a Cursors-based command line. Well, not command line, but you know, text graphic interface that Cursors provides. Player. It was recommended to me by Charles Cullum and Gavin Stewart, and I just like it. It's very simple. It just plays music. Key presses, keeps out my way. The only slight odd thing about it, it's nothing to do with CMUS. It's actually when I play Magnitune through the browser on my laptop through Firefox usually, sometimes it won't start playing. It just sits there at zero and refuses to move. But then I go into CMUS. And I start and stop any old track in CMUS, and then the player and Magnitune in the browser will start working. It's just weird, isn't
totally
it?
Totally bizarre. Yeah.
This is carried on through various updates and installations and completely fresh installations of Slackware. I don't know whether it's Firefox or the sound system behind the scenes. I don't know what's going on, but it's not. It's definitely Firefox, because it doesn't happen with any other software on the laptop. But
it's a shame. There are still strange little corners of sound on Linux that seem still to be in need of attention, I guess. I don't know. I never know whether it's me or whether it's the sound system, because I struggle with sound on my machine from time to time, because and it refuses to play, or you know.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate. The only problem I have is through the browser. It's not just Magnitude. I think other sites suffer from this problem. So it's something to do with the browser, Firefox, and it might even happen in other browsers, so it might be a plugin related thing. I don't know. I don't understand it at all. Mm. But outside, CMUS and Amarok and any other music player works just fine. So it's not a low level problem in my laptop. Anyway, we digress. So we'll go on to my final choice, which is Infant from the album, and I have to pause before saying this, Theatralica. I don't know quite how you say that. by Stanislav, and this came out in the last, the most recent email from beginning of May that John Buckman sent out. And I have to say, I listened to this album, apart from being obviously unable to pronounce the title of the album, my first reaction was, oh my goodness, this album is awful, I hate it. Now this happens to me quite a lot, in that the first time I hear music, if I have an extreme reaction to it, either loving it or hating it, that means I like it. It's very strange that some of my favourite music ever, I started off by hating with a vengeance. And I really did not like this album, but I since I know I'm like this, I persist and listen to it. And, well, I'll play it. I won't say any more about it. I shouldn't have said that at the beginning.
That's an interesting, yeah, okay. Go for it then.
Yeah, let's listen to it. Let you decide. Hope you're still with us after that. I shouldn't have prejudiced it by making my comments beforehand. Suffice to say, it's a bit odd. It certainly is experimental, as described. Stanislav hails from Slovenia. That's right, isn't it? Yes, Slovenia is what we said.
Slovenia, yes.
And I don't know, I just... is after not liking it at first, it sort of grew on me, and that track in particular, I found particularly bizarre in a way that grew in me. But your mileage may vary, and probably does vary. So what did you make of that, Dave?
Well, it's definitely strange. I must have done the thing where I listened to the first offered track and thought, nah, I'm not going to get that one. I guess the answer to that sort of reaction is you should give it a bit more of a try than just the first impression, because... That seemed rather interesting. I quite like to listen to more tracks on that album just to see what else he comes up with. I see in his blurb here he says it can be regarded as understood as a soundtrack from a not yet recorded movie or theatrical performance, which is why he calls it Theatralica. That's the way I'd pronounce it anyway.
Theatralica, thank you. I just couldn't see it. Now you see it, I know what to do. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a sort of soundtracky thing. What on earth is going on in the movie while that soundtrack is playing? I have no idea. But,
yeah, it's probably safe to say that if it's not a horror movie, it's highly disturbing in its content. But actually, that's an interesting point. There's quite a lot of stuff in Magnitude from budding film and TV composers. Mm, I've come across a few albums that say, mm-hmm. say something like that, that this would be for a soundtrack, music suitable for a soundtrack, but they haven't been commissioned for their first film yet. I guess there aren't that many films, so being a film music composer is quite a difficult thing to get into.
It's a desirable area to go into if you're studying music. I can vouch for that, as I've said many times. My son has been through that thing, and one of the sort of projects that he was set was go and find somebody who's doing a film or find an existing film and make a soundtrack to it, and he actually got commissioned to do something, but in the university where they have a film school, so he actually managed to get do the soundtrack for a film that they did there. So so I can quite understand how these things come to be. But you need a bit more context, hopefully. I wonder whether there was context to this. He's hoping that a film that fits it will come to be.
Yeah, that sounds very good. Yeah, I think I really like a lot of film music, and it's notable to me that with a lot of film composers, they start off quite experimental and then become more conventional later in their careers. And the one that really, when I say that, one of my favourite composers is Jerry Goldsmith, who composed the first... It wasn't his first movie, but maybe the first one I remember realising was a bit different was Planet of the Apes. Very plinky plonky experimental. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Plinky plonky probably is the official musicologist term for it. Probably not minimal. I forget what the correct word is, but yeah, it's a very avant garde late 60s soundtrack, almost not musical in a way. But then through the 70s, by the end, late 70s, he'd done Alien and Star Trek the Motion Picture, and I think Star Trek the Motion Picture is probably my all-time favourite soundtrack, but still full of experimental sounds, like big twanging bass guitars almost sound effects for that, if you know Star Trek the Motion Picture, the big cloud that surrounds V'ger. And then after that, Jerry Goldsmith became much more conventional, I think, in his scores.
There was sounds like things being dropped inside a grand piano and that sort of stuff, wasn't there? It was sort of strange sort of plonky noises sounding like sort of metal vibration-y
noises. Yeah, I think that was a bass guitar. It was a bass guitar strings.
I remember that. It was quite distinctive.
It was. Stuff. It was basically, it's done, and then I think James Horner, who did the subsequent Star Trek films, he also used the same sound, which is odd because two different composers with very different styles, but there was a little bit of overlap. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, very cool.
Digress greatly. So if you want something a bit more experimental, I recommend that album. If you didn't like that, I think there's a high chance you will like the rest of the album even less. But anyway.
I think it's worth a look anyway. So moving on to my last one, then it's an artist called Dimples. Interesting name, and the album is called Shop Sessions, and the track is called Drive. Thank you. So that was not electronica or ambient. That was the genre world music, and it wasn't called Dimples. It was The Dimples. My transcription fails, unfortunately. So that sounds a little bit more reasonable as a band name. This fascinates me because it's a relatively recent instrument. It's only about 17 years old, I believe, and it was invented by a couple in Switzerland who make them and sell them for very high prices for a while. I think they had a sort of almost a patent on the device, and but it became extremely popular. That I missed out on the year where there seemed to be loads of people with these things playing busking on the street in Edinburgh during the festival. I saw the stuff on YouTube afterwards and was fascinated with the sort of stuff that these people can play. I've been sort of following that particular type of music myself for a while. And I was happy to see this particular one. I think there's another band that does similar stuff on Magnitude. I thought I'd offer this one up as an example of this instrument. And I haven't said what it is. It's called various things. It's called a hand pan. So it's derived in its origin from the steel pan from Jamaica, I think. Does that originate?
Must be. I associated it with
steel
that.
Drum, yeah. So it's got a similar sound. And it's played just with the hands. And it's a metal device with beaten out panels to get the different notes. And it's also called a hung, but it's spelled H-A-N-G, pronounced hung for some reason that I don't fully understand, but whatever. So I just think it's a fascinating instrument.
Yes, I liked it too. It was minimal was the kind of music. I guess it's restricted in the notes that you can play on it, so
yes,
it's bound to sound a bit minimal. Also, you could mistake it for electronica. You know, it doesn't. The type of music it is, it lends itself to, at least as played there. It was, you know, because it's a little bit repetitive and it's got a nice rounded sound to it. You know, when I first heard it, when I listened to it last night, I didn't realise at all what I was listening to. It was only when you told me it was related to a steel drum.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call a hand pan?
Yeah.
I don't know. It makes me think of, that's not a good name. It makes me sound think of bedpan. But a musical instrument in there, perhaps, but not one that I think would be all that pleasant to listen to.
People knocking other people over with the handle.
Yeah, sorry. You have to fill up to the right volume of liquids to get to the right note. You know, drink a few cups of water in preparation. I don't. Anyway, no. That aside, I thought it was really. Soothing.
I was
soothing
going in the direction of warming pan rather than
warming pan.
Yes, that's why they have handles. What you said doesn't have handles. And that's why. Yes, well, that's a good one. There's a digression and a half.
Yeah, sorry, I don't seem to be able to stay on topic today.
Oh, that's fun. So, that's it then. So, the Dimples are definitely interesting people, so check them out, I would suggest.
Yes. So, well, that was our last track, wasn't it?
So
we did three each, so six. So, I suppose we would look forward to your comments and what you liked, what you didn't like, what you thought was completely mad. If you made it to the end of the episode after my experimental choice there. Good job we left that nearly to the end. I think we've covered almost everything. We've talked about how we listen to the music. I suppose we're not an advert for Magnitude by any stretch of the imagination, although we obviously both like it.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, that we've chosen stuff more along the ambient electronic. We've really been very electronica dominated, but as I say, there's more than that to Magnitude. There's quite a lot of pop and rock stuff as well,
which we
just don't listen to.
Well, it's just our personal choices, so it's understandable. But yeah, there's a goodly range there. There's a lot of classical, actually. There's quite a lot. But the as you say, there's pop as well, and sort of electro rock and electro pop and that type of thing. It's quite a range of genres there,
yeah,
which you can go and browse without being a member, you can go and check it out and listen to at least samples of the music. And interestingly, I don't know if we covered this in the last episode of this that we did, quite a lot of the players let you play the music off Magnatune. I think we maybe did cover this, did we?
I can't recall.
Clementine, the one that I prefer at the moment, does have the ability to go to the site and
that's
play.
Right, because it's based on Amarok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Amarok, this is the before they redid the interface, which mm-hmm. I didn't like, and a lot of people didn't like.
No,
so Clementine's the old version of Amarok. That's how I found Magnatune, because it's actually prominently mentioned.
Yeah.
Yes,
you just click on the internet button, and there's things like Jamendo and various others of Magnatunes there, and you can just browse through the entire collection there, which is pretty amazing.
And if you've not logged in, and you can use your browser as well, actually,
mm-hmm.
Web, go to magnatune.com. If you're not a member and you can't sign in, I think the most obvious thing is that you can listen to the music, as much of it as you want, I believe, but you get John Buckman's neighbour talking over it and explaining that you're not a member. It's great music, actually. I don't bother logging in because I quite like the guy. Since I live across the road from John and I don't much care for the music, but John's a nice guy and he works hard and listens to a lot of music that he probably doesn't like. It's really funny, actually.
Yeah.
Very anti commercial. You know, very honest, but it's a sense of humour.
Yeah.
Which is also nice that, you know, you can listen to it, but I don't think you can't download, obviously, if you're not a member. Downloading is.
I think that's true.
Yeah, it's a member perk.
There's a podcast feature. I don't know whether. I think. I've not actually tried it as a non member, but I think that you can get tunes from there, but you get the. This is a track from Magnatune, and if you remember, you'd be able to download this and everything else for no extra money, or something to that effect. And so you know, but he's definitely gone to great trouble to make this the music available and to tempt you to come and join.
Yes, indeed. Yes, so anyway, that's another taster of Magnatune. We might even do another one in the future if there's enough new releases. So.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, it's fun. Good. Well, thank you, Andrea. That's been a fun time.
Yes, thanks, Dave. It's good to have you over at my house, and we're now going to eat lunch.
That's what I like, yes.
Right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.